Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Mr. Humble, Mr. Gracious, at your service. It's always a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for tuning in today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, I know you can just feel your IQ shooting through the roof every minute you listen to this show, can't you? That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Dr. Blaine McCormick is here, ladies and gentlemen. He wants to talk to us about a little baby boy that was born 300 years ago next year. And this little baby boy grew up to be a pretty important person. And after all these centuries, we're still thinking about him. We're still talking about him. Some of us are still writing about him. But more importantly, we're still learning from him. And he wrote an autobiography, this guy, Benjamin Franklin. But he wrote it in such a way that regular folks in the 21st century might have had a little bit of trouble reading that autobiography, and Dr. Blaine McCormick has fixed that for us in his book, Benjamin Franklin, America's Original Entrepreneur. Blaine is our new friend. Blaine, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's good to be out this morning.
It's good to have you with us, as always, and thank you for doing what you did with Benjamin Franklin's autobiography.
Well, I think it was needing to be done. We all used to read it, and it was standard reading for business people and small business people in particular, and it just got a little too difficult to do.
Yeah. Well, that's what I understood. And by the way, would this be considered an unauthorized autobiography?
No, actually, I think if Benjamin Franklin were alive today, I think he would bless this endeavor. He, in his own life, he translated some sections of the Bible to make them a little bit more up-to-date to reach an average audience of his day.
Right.
So he was familiar with projects like this.
Well, and of course, if I know a little bit about Benjamin Franklin, it's that he did have a little bit of an ego. I mean, he was a cool guy, but he had a little bit of an ego. So the idea that maybe somebody would do something to allow people to continue to read about him and to hear and to read the things that he said and the things that he did and learn from him, I think he'd like that.
Oh, I think he'd like that a lot. The shy ones don't write autobiographies about themselves.
Right.
Take somebody with a little bit of moxie to do that. So he would get a kick out of knowing that people were still
working with
his autobiography.
He actually talked about self-promotion in the book, didn't he?
He did. He did talk about self-promotion in some ways, gave some examples of it. He tried to his hardest to maintain a very humble persona in public, but he wanted people to know he was working at small business. He was a small business owner, and he was not
He owned many small businesses, didn't he?
He ran many small businesses, and he basically counseled people. He said, if you're working late, work by the window. You know, keep the candle going, and that way your creditors on the street and the capitalists who could give you money, they know that you're a hard worker. Or, like, he would buy his supplies and push them down the street in a wheelbarrow in full public view rather than get them late at night when nobody could see them. So he was clever at it, but not as shameless as he could rarely and easily be accused of being shameless. Let's put it that way.
Well, we're still learning from Benjamin Franklin after all these years. And in my opinion, if you had to identify the 10 most important people in the history of mankind, wouldn't he be on that list?
A history of humankind? That's a big question. But
that's
I'd say definitely on my short list for America. His influence, you can go to any country today. Let's put it this way. You go to any country today and mention the name Benjamin Franklin and people know him.
Yeah.
And so that might put him in the top 10 in and of itself.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, I realize, I guess maybe of all mankind, okay, maybe the top 15. But certainly the point is that not just who he was and whether we remember him or not, but he had an impact on this fledgling country.
Absolutely.
Almost like, I mean, Alexander Hamilton had a significant impact. Obviously, George Washington did in his own way. But in terms of the different things, different areas that Benjamin Franklin touched. I mean, Hamilton was more, you know, from the economic standpoint. Franklin helped build this economy, didn't he?
Franklin did help build the economy, Jim, in probably his most important contribution was what I would call the rags to riches story, and that's his autobiography. He was the first person to demonstrate, really in the history of humankind, now this is where it really comes into play on a global stage,
mm-hmm.
to say you can be born in the middle of nowhere, the 15th of 17 children, to a family with no money, and you'd become one of the most famous people in the world before you die.
Right.
And he wrote that down for everybody to read, and that changed a lot.
And that was major different from the way the old in on the continent.
Major
very few
different.
People could have accomplished that from that standing, from that station in life, could have accomplished what he did if he had been over in the continent instead of in the new world. Stand by.
Very different.
Dr. Blaine McCormick is our guest and our new friend. He's the author of Benjamin Franklin, America's Original Entrepreneur, and Blaine and I will be right back after these messages with more on Benjamin Franklin. 2010. Stay with us.
You know you look so fine. Child, you know you got me going. Got me going. Just like I knew you would.
Well, I saw a cloud of crying, but I'm out on the road again. I'm on the road.
We're back at 1710. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com or jbsba.com. I hope you'll check it out when you get a chance. It's a good site, folks. We work hard for on that site to make sure that you have the stuff that you need to be successful. You can listen to thousands of archives, shows that we've done in the past. These are edited, folks. No commercials, just the good stuff. And you can listen to them. You can check them out by category, by member of our brain trust, by date. There are a lot of different ways you can look for them there. We make it pretty easy for you, I think. And don't forget to check out the blog, which brings the things that we've done lately right up front. And so I hope you'll check that out when you get a chance. And you can subscribe to the blog. We'll send you the blog every day if you'd like for us to. You don't even have to come to see us. We'll come to see you. And that's at smallbusinessadvocate.com. And the blog, if you want to go directly there, it's on the homepage, but you can also get there by going to jimsblog.biz. Dr. Blaine McCormick is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. And Dr. McCormick is a nationally recognized scholar on the business practices of Benjamin Franklin. This guy, Benjamin Franklin, was so versatile and so multifaceted that we actually have scholars on one part of his life. Mm-hmm. And Blaine is an associate dean of undergraduate program at the Hamaker School of Business at Baylor University. Some people know it as Baylor University. Blaine, how long have you been at Baylor?
I've been at Baylor. This is my eighth year now. Native
yeah.
Texan, lived in California for a little while, but back to Texas for 8 years now.
All right. Let's talk about this guy Benjamin Franklin as the America's original entrepreneur. And I agree with you. What do you think he would think about the 21st century entrepreneur?
Oh, I think he would fit right in. If Ben Franklin came back alive today, I mean, you know, he'd have to understand a few things, but, I mean, he understood about
You mean would we have to explain electricity to him? Or you think
absolutely not. See,
that'd be intuitive, wouldn't it, for him?
He was already
he
on
would
that
say,
page.
He would say, yeah, this is what it's supposed to look like.
He'd say, yeah, this is what I was hoping for, that you've just bought lightning, basically, and you can turn it on and off at your will.
Or he might say, after 200 years, is this all you've done with it?
Yeah. No, this is where you need to go. Let me make an analogy here. I mean, he would understand the internet and how information travels, and he'd just be impressed that it's faster. Because
He'd want a website immediately, wouldn't he?
He would. He basically ran what I would call the colonial internet. He had a chain of newspapers and print shops up and down the colonial seaboard. He was postmaster and could keep the flow of traffic going. So if he wanted to spread an idea, he could spread it faster than anybody mm-hmm. over there. Now, it was at the speed of horses. But that was very fast for its day. So he would pick up and go just fine.
Well, of course, we all know he was the first postmaster.
He was a
postmaster
very successful
general.
Postmaster, yeah.
Yeah.
And the post office was actually profitable under him.
Right, yeah. And that was the last time, right? 250,
I think so.
All those years ago. Okay, you know, one of the things that you said to me earlier was that one of all the people, of all the founding fathers, you would rather, you'd like to have a conversation with him. And I thought about that, and I said, you know what? I actually would like that too, but I'm pretty sure, I'm not easily intimidated, Blaine, but I think I'd be intimidated by him even today.
You know, he's a very imposing presence. You're right. As you were coming back in, you said, you know, he's so multifaceted. People study just one part of
his life. Yeah, yeah. You're a renowned scholar on one aspect of his life.
On one aspect. And there's parts you could ask me about that I wouldn't know anything about because it is that big. But he is a very imposing and intimidating figure. But I tell you what, Jim, if you sat down with him, he would make you feel so at home. So, you know,
he would disarm. He'd be disarming, wouldn't he?
He would be very disarming, and he understood that, and he mastered that at a very young age before he became famous, and he didn't lose that touch. People, that's why everybody still loves Ben, because he was so disarming in that way.
Well, and he was an entrepreneurial diplomat, too, wasn't he?
Very much so. He learned about leadership in the fires of entrepreneurship and running a business.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he moved into the political arena, he could function in ways and solve problems in ways that people who just knew politics and war, for lack of another thing to draw upon,
mm-hmm.
couldn't fathom. I mean, it was, you know, either you attack or you negotiate, and he would say, oh, no, you trade. I mean, there's a
right.
third option on the table here,
right.
And a fourth, usually. He just approached it quite differently.
Well, he was successful in England. He was successful in France.
Mm-hmm.
And as a diplomat. And the thing that I think... Was there any founding father that had his level of curiosity?
Oh, Jefferson to a certain extent. He and Jefferson understood each other quite well, but I don't even.
But Jefferson wasn't a regular guy, though. I admire Thomas Jefferson immensely,
uh-huh.
but he wasn't a regular guy.
Not as much. No.
Not like Franklin was.
No.
I mean, Franklin, you could take Franklin to a tractor pull. I don't think Thomas Jefferson would want to go to that.
Oh, he'd go. He'd feel pretty uncomfortable, though. Franklin
yeah.
would enjoy, and
he'd want to drive.
He would buy snacks for everybody.
That's exactly right. Yeah, he'd say, "All right, who has the concessions for this thing?"
That's right.
what's always amazed me about the founding fathers, and they do amaze me, continue to amaze me. The more I read about them, and we've done quite a bit of coverage of them. This is the second Benjamin Franklin book we've covered in the last year. Walter Olson, Walter Isaacson. I'm sorry,
yeah.
Walter Isaacson wrote a good book on his life a year or so ago, and we've done some stuff I said his name a minute ago. Madison's who I was thinking
Madison,
of.
Okay,
but
yeah.
What I was going to say is any of those guys, if you dropped them right into the middle of our life right now, they'd be fully functioning in about 48 hours, wouldn't they?
Most of them.
They were
would.
All highly.
Some would have to come to terms more, but
highly intelligent. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back after these messages.
Since I don't.
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with Dr. Blaine McCormick, the author of Ben Franklin, America's Original Entrepreneur. And Blaine, you took the original autobiography of Benjamin Franklin.
Correct.
And you, through painstaking scholarship and a lot of hard work and elbow grease, you converted it into language, into English, that a 21st century human being can understand.
That's right. Yeah.
And I know that was a lot more than just editing, because sort of like if you've ever read the King James Version of the Bible and then read some of the newer translations, you know that it takes more than just changing, making an S that looks like an F into an S that looks like an S. you know that there's more than that, and so it took a while, didn't it?
It did take a while, and it's funny that nobody thought of this before. I mean, the autobiography's been declining since about the 1950s. People have read it less and less. And it took a business professor to figure this one out for
yeah.
a reason, and that's because the autobiography chronicles his business years about to age 50. He stopped writing at age 50 in the story. That was his business
years. He stopped writing the autobiography when he was 50?
He wrote the autobiography in his late 80s, but he
oh,
was
right.
looking back over his life.
And he stopped writing about the business part of it?
Yeah, he only chronicled his life in the autobiography up to about age 53.
I see. Why did he do that?
50. So, well, he died.
Well, okay, he ran out of time.
You start at 88 and you start riding.
You're saying he ran out of time. Okay.
He ran out of time and just couldn't get it all down there. But there's other documents that cover the rest of his life, too.
Right.
Plenty
right.
of statements.
Okay. What would make this book a great holiday present or a great gift for somebody's entrepreneur?
Because
what would they get out of this? And if you were going to mark a section of the book to, you know, say, okay, this is why you're going to like this book, what would you say?
Okay, let me answer those questions in order. This would make a great gift for a modern day entrepreneur because they're going to read it and they're going to recognize themselves immediately. They'll say, I understand this guy. He was the first original entrepreneur in America, and he kind of wrote about the experience, and it's a road they've all traveled, and they're going to say, I get this guy, so this is why we do what we do, and so they'll recognize that immediately.
Now, some of us recognize ourselves more when we see things that didn't work than when we see things that did work. Are we going to see some failures in this book?
Absolutely.
Does Franklin admit to his failures?
He admits to his failures. He was
very He's my kind of guy.
He was very candid about that. He had a number of mistakes that he refers to throughout the course of his life in the autobiography, very selectively, but at least he ponies up. You know, we will say that. He ponies up more than most of us would, I think, in there. What I would say, if you pick a part to go and read, I would start in part two of the book. And there's a chapter in there, chapter 29, called Getting Started. And that's whenever, you know, he's a third of the way through the autobiography. He's gone through his young years and his apprenticeship and the struggles of identifying, you know, what he wants to do and making a name for himself. And then he finally opens his own shop. And he talks about the first dollar that he makes, or the first money that he makes. And it's a great section that I think just about any entrepreneur will identify with and say, I want more. I need to understand more.
Well, the reason I ask you that question, Blaine, is because when you get this book, it's a really beautiful book, but it's almost too beautiful. I mean, it really is nice and well done, and I like the presentation a lot.
Thanks.
But I do think though that would be I like that you draw our attention to 29 there, chapter 29, because I think that might be a good place to start. Go there first. Go to chapter 29. Read about what he said there, and then I think you'll go back and start from the beginning. What do you think, Blaine?
I think start where it grabs your interest and you identify, and then you'll pick it up. If you read any part that resonates with you, you want to start at the beginning and see the trajectory. And don't forget the maps. You know,
there's maps
on the inside too that help you understand where he traveled and what he did, and that's just as important as the chapters.
What would he think about today's technology?
He would love the printing technology. I think he'd get a big kick out of cell phones, that he could, you know, talk to people around the world from anywhere on the planet. He would think that was just the greatest thing in the world.
You know what I think he'd like the most about the manifestation of technology?
What do you think?
That anybody today can be published.
Oh,
without going, you don't have to be approved by a big publishing house. Anybody can be published.
And this guy was shut out by some publishers.
Yeah.
People played heavy-handed with him. He found ways around it. And he was very much pro-underdog. Even when he was on top, he left doors open for the underdog.
Benjamin Franklin, America's Original Entrepreneur. Folks, it's by Dr. Blaine McCormick. It's a good book. It's an outstanding gift for the entrepreneur in your life. Hey, Blaine, thanks for being here. Will you come back another day?
I'll come back another day, Jim. Anytime.
We'll talk about this very important person another day. Thanks, Blaine McCormick. We'll see you next time.
Okay,
got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, all you Benjamin Franklins out there. This is Jim Blassingame. I'll see you back. All right, be right back on the other side of the news. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.